Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course.
But,
that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got a mighty opposition, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a start where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kiss us in the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our names. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too.
Let's hope this works tonight.
Can I talk?
Yeah. Before I begin the show, do you hear me, Chris?
Yeah, I can hear.
Is this working?
You hear me?
I hear you. Yeah. Is this work? What? This? Oh my gosh. For those who don't know, we're surprised because we've had serious issues the past 3 weeks of getting this going. And if you stumbled across the show, this is MWCConnection.com, Mountain West Connection. Facebook, Twitter, all the same. You know the gist, MWC Connection there. And it's working. I can hear you, and you can hear me. Am I correct again? We didn't stop by any means, did we?
No, I don't think so. I think we just cut the intro short.
Well, I just started talking before. I just started like, this better work, and kind of going along with it. So, good news that this is out of the way. We will be joined, for people who don't know who we are, maybe we should introduce ourselves. Jeremy Moss here. Chris Andres is now. Are you currently now in Southern California? Is that correct?
I am now in Southern California. I am not moved in, which means that I have no microphone. I have no headphones, so I sound probably like crap.
It's okay. There's no echo. That's good, right?
I'm on hi-fi broadcast, but with lo-fi technology.
Yes, lo-fi equipment, hi-fi and beta. We'll see. We'll be joined by Parker Robertson, our good friend, who now he still helps us out when he can. But he also now covers Utah State football for KSL. So check him out there because I know he'll appreciate this, but any page view he gets, he'll be greatly appreciated for. So click F5 or the refresh button a bunch of times. So go ahead and do that for him. He'll be in just a moment. Let's see. He sent me a message here. If it doesn't work in a minute or two, I'll just call in. Perfect. That's fine. We have a few minutes here. Sorry for the delay tonight. Normally we start about an hour ago. I was watching Star Wars, so there's that. Anybody cares?
Yeah, but who's actually listening live?
We get a handful. Good point.
You know what I did today? I got sheets and towels.
All right. So, like I said, Parker will join us shortly. And there is odds placed upon. Did you see the tweet I referenced you in about who will make a BYU fan cry first or something or make them upset?
Yeah. Somebody was placing bets on Parker, but I'm pretty sure it's me.
Yeah, Daniel Connolly, who does some Nevada stuff for us, must not know you very well. Because, we could have that.
Nevada stuff for us, and he really doesn't know. He really doesn't know me well. He'll be the first one making Nevada fan. There's that too.
Yes. We'll get to that. We will. Well, we'll see. I guess we will touch on the lovely BYU Cougars because they play Utah State in our schedule kind of preview. But this is our second to last one. Fall camp has begun. We don't really need to go into news for fall camp because there's not really news.
We have under 30 days until football starts.
Yeah, Thursday.
It's like 23 days.
A little bit more. I think it's like 27 or 26. Regardless, it's soon. 3.5 weeks. Let's just stick with that. We had the opening night. We got who do we have playing? Southern Utah, Utah State, a couple other games, but yeah, we'll not chat about that. But there's some. Let's start. I guess we'll start with the bad news for Utah State. Another some suspensions late last night.
Gone.
Sorry, I don't think people heard you. Say that again.
I said Hunter Sharp, gone for two games. And also, a couple other people, but Hunter Sharp.
Well, Sharp's a key guy as well. You lose JoJo Natson, who's off the team. Hunter Sharp, who was, now, my opinion, this is going to probably upset some Colorado State fans. But I think he's as good as Rashard Higgins, because when he had Daryl Garrettson throwing him the ball, he was the man, probably right there with Rashard Higgins as the best wide receiver in the league. Nope. Switching to quarter. Kent Myers putting in, even with Craig Harrison for a little bit. There was, unfortunately, nobody had the deep ball to get him. And if him and Trekkie Keaton can connect, that'll be a great combo. But he's gone. But losing their starting left guard as well. Tyshawn Mosley, he started every game last year, played as a redshirt freshman. The one that's not the big concern, senior cornerback Bryant Hayes, he saw a ton of action. He's in the starting rotation or in the conversation for it. Let's bring in our good friend Parker to talk about Utah State some more. Hello, Parker. Are you joining us?
I am joining you, I believe. I hope so.
Wait, let's do a sound check. I heard Parker. Do you guys hear me still?
I heard Parker. I hear you. Does everybody hear me?
Yes.
Hey, it's working. I apologize. We had to do that for the past 3 weeks. We want to make sure everything is in a row that we can hear everybody. So we got Park on the line. Looks like by my technology here, I can tell you called him via the phone, not the hi-fi.
Yes. I tried the hi-fi across two laptops and a desktop, and it did not work.
Whew. They need to fix out the bugs. So, but... As for that, we joked before. We know how you love, you did see a tweet about Daniel Connolly, correct? Our Nevada guy pointed towards you about. He doesn't know Chris very well, does he?
I don't think so.
I'm going to go ahead and note that. But what we're chatting about, we're talking about the suspensions and everything. So we'll just kind of bounce around because we'll do the whole show. So obviously, Hunter Sharp is a big deal, but. You did your defensive back preview recently, or like I said, over at KSL. Like I tell people, keep clicking the F5 button to refresh and get those page views for you. But what's it?
I appreciate that.
What's the deal with Bryant Hayes? I read it, but I don't recall where you had him placed. Was he going to start this year, or would you put him in the mix?
Bryant Hayes was in the mix. Right now he's second on the depth chart, battling Daniel Gray to back up Jalen Davis, who's kind of in the mix to be the nickel corner, him and Gray. So he's definitely someone that would have contributed, but I think over the course of two games is someone that the secondary is deep enough that you can kind of hide that, or you're not going to notice that particularly, Hayes' absence.
Okay, yeah, they're always pretty deep there. But let's start with the big question. I know Chris is excited to talk about this. It's just going to be the Trekkie Keaton show, correct, the whole hour?
I hope so. That's all I've prepared.
Oh, good. Right. So you're ready.
Especially now that now that there's no JoJo Natson, no Hunter Sharp. Right? So it's got to be the Trekkie Keaton show.
I just thought we were renaming this to the Trekkie Keaton Hour, and it was like a bi-weekly thing.
Possibly. There's a good chance. So with Keaton, let's start with we all know that, but let's give you were practice last week, I believe on Thursday, for their media day there. Trekkie went, I think, 11 of 15 in his first 11-on-11, which, as I put, I know I'm being sarcastic, but Heisman already buzz for completing 11 of 15. I saw people on Twitter I put out there just to kind of joke around. What did they allow you to see last week when he's throwing the ball, or what did you kind of see for that?
I was there. I missed Friday practice. I was there for media day on Thursday. But from what I've been told and the people I've talked to who were there, you know, he looked really good. Heisman buzz after
of 15 course.
Passes or whatever it was a bit ridiculous. But no, from what I've heard, he's looked really good. And from the chances I've had to see him throw a little bit this summer, he's looked good. He has, you know. He looks confident out there. He's moving around well. He's throwing off his back, or not off his back, but he's driving off his back foot to throw the ball. You know, he seems, I don't want to be you know, too all Chucky because, you know, last two seasons have been ended in disappointment. And so if you're a Utah State fan, you got to like the way he's throwing the ball. I feel like he's throwing the ball like he did in 2012 and like he did at the beginning of the 2013 season.
Hey, Parker, was Chucky wearing a brace?
No, he's wearing a knee sleeve is what he's going back to. The knee sleeve is what he's always worn, I believe, at least as far as at Utah State. He's always worn a knee sleeve. He did wear a brace last year at the beginning of the year in 2014 before re-aggravating the injury. But I think he's so far removed from the original injury that both physically and mentally he has that confidence and the confidence in his knee to be able to go full speed with just the knee sleeve.
So we're totally doing Chucky Prizman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's why I tag all my tweets, Chucky Prizman, right?
I'm going to check. That. Yeah, Chris, you carry the conversation. I'll look for that website they made to see if it's still up and running for the Chucky Heisman. I bet it is.
I hope it's not.
So we have the Chucky show. Obviously, he's going to be starting quarterback. And if, God forbid, he goes down again, that means that, no Daryl Garrettson. It's got to be Kent Myers. So that means, okay. And if Chucky goes down and it is Kent Myers, Utah State will still be fine at running back. Let's talk about the running back for a second.
Wait, hold on a second. You're skipping a lot of stuff. For the record, there is the ChuckyKeaton.usu.edu, so it's still up and running. You're forgetting it's not. I don't think it's just Kent Myers. I believe some people like Damien Hobbs or DJ Nelson.
There's DJ Nelson, but there's no Craig Harrison. There's no Daryl Garrettson.
So who do you? So I believe it's Chucky, but who like who's going to be the backup? Because that is a key thing to note. I don't know if it's just Kent Myers. I'd like Kent Myers, but he didn't throw the deep ball very well, and he's still very inexperienced.
Well, I think going into when I at Media Days last Thursday, the quarterback battle is something Matt Wells talked about a decent amount in his press conference, talking about, you know, the three guys that are, you know, in contention for the second string are DJ Nelson, Damien Hobbs, and Kent Myers. And he said, you know, these guys, this is something that's going to go deep into camp. And personally, I think you have to give Kent Myers the edge because of his experience in games last year, but he did struggle with the deep ball. He's still very young. And DJ Nelson has probably been really, really impressive. He has been really impressive in everything that I've seen. But I hesitate because he doesn't fit the mold, I guess, of a typical Utah State quarterback. And by typical, I mean he's not Chucky Keaton. He's not a dual threat guy. You know, he's a little bit shorter. Let's see. He's 5'9". But he's still, you know, he's had a good arm and good reads, and he's done really well. And someone who I'm high on that I don't think has had a good spring or could fall so far is Damien Hobbs, who originally committed to Utah State, and then he flipped to Oregon, spent a year at Oregon before transferring back. He sat out his year. He's an incredible athlete. You know, he has a cannon for an arm, but I don't think he has any touch or accuracy, or at least those are the areas where he seems to struggle. So that'll be an interesting battle to watch going through the spring. But if I had to give an edge right now, I'd have to give it to Kent Myers.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's just, and all in all, let's just hope that Chucky Keaton doesn't go down again. So now we'll move on to the running back.
I think that's everyone's hope.
so obviously, or maybe not as obviously, Lawan Hunt is the main running back. I presume Rashawn Hall is the backup.
Oh, yeah.
Or are we going to have Nick Vigil playing both linebacker and running back again?
Well, Aggies have enough depth at linebacker. They probably could afford to move Nick to running back. But, you know, right now, behind Lawan Hunt, who is kind of the one, but not by a lot, they have a few guys. Devontae Mays, Tony Lindsay, Rashard Hall, I believe. Yeah. And so Devontae Mays is a junior college transfer, a little bit bigger back. He's 5'11", 230. Just kind of a big power back, something that, you know, they had to bring Nick Vigil in to do last year. And so I think these running backs are good enough to get the job done, but I think a lot of it depends on what is going to happen in front of them on the offensive line.
So how do you see it that? Because they're coming back. We got Mosley, who's gone for the first. Basically, the Utah game's a big deal. They bring four starters back because Mosley had 11 starts. They lose Kevin Wimpy. It's a pretty big deal. All Mountain West last year, 40 career starts. Their running game wasn't anything special last year. It was, like you say, good enough. Joe Hill was okay. Lawan Hunt came on late when he, as a freshman, to get a play reasonable amount of time. But you don't have his thing. You don't have JoJo Natz, and he had 500 yards last year on the game, on the year jet sweeps, all that type of stuff. What do they want to do with the running game? Because they don't want to rely on Chucky Keaton throwing the ball all the time. They clearly don't want him running a lot. Not that he ever ran a lot, but he would be kind of, I need to run for 5 yards, I'll do it. He's not going to – one guy's not open and take off. So what do they want to achieve at the running back position?
Well, I think it'll be – you know, it's kind of an unknown right now. It will be interesting to see with the new offensive coordinator, Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
Well, they've brought in a transfer from Oklahoma. Oh, man, I'm not going to remember his name, but he's a fullback. And he didn't see time at Oklahoma, but I do know he has kind of bounced around a couple schools. He's a graduate transfer who is eligible immediately. And, you know, they've talked about being able to find a way to get the running back into the game, and especially when you're missing JoJo Natson, who kind of is that you know, the side-to-side short passing games, the screen that Utah State has used the last couple of years to kind of to minimize the default, the defects in their running game. But it'll be interesting to see. It's really an unknown right now. I think a lot of fans are hoping that Utah State will at least have the ability when it's 3rd and 2 to run the ball. And that's something they didn't have last year, which led to their lowest third down conversion percentage in a long time.
Hey, you guys hear that?
What was that?
Yeah.
That was the sound of Notre Dame fans getting way too excited about us mentioning fullback on the podcast.
What about Stanford? I think Stanford would appreciate that as well. And Navy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Although Navy, they're more excited when we talk about triple options.
Sure, triple option and fullback, but let's see. Yeah, but it's this again, tag offense. Like, the one concern I have now, we'll get to the games and get to defense, but here's the thing I'm seeing. They have a lot of guys back, like guys who played, but I don't see. I don't know if it's me. It's just a weird feeling, which should bear no weight on expertise or how they will perform, but their running game has just been okay the past couple years. Just they've had ever since they had a good stretch. Like, who is it? Bobby Smith. Or they had a couple of guys draft like 3 years in a row. I think one's up in Seattle and a few other places, but they haven't had anything in a couple. Yeah, that's right. Robert Turbin. That's correct. That's the guy backing up Marshawn Lynch, him and a few other guys. They don't have that type of running back. The receiving core down, JoJo Natson. Devontae Robinson's going to have to step up. I don't know if they're going to use White Houston much more at tight end, but the receiving core is extremely thin, especially in that Utah game. So, you don't want to put all on Chucky, but I just see his offensive just needing to kind of survive, at least for the first couple weeks, because we saw what Chucky did last year versus Tennessee. He was just awful. There were plenty of drop passes in that game. He did not look comfortable. So at least they get Southern Utah, then Utah. But I'm just wondering if this offense will take maybe a couple games to get going, because you have a few guys out, Keaton's back, new full-time starter or running back, new wide receiver stepping up. Who's going to be their number two receiver when they play Utah? If we're going off returning stats, is Brandon Swindle going to be that guy?
I think Brandon Swindle absolutely can be that guy. Brandon Swindle's someone who could be a great receiver who's struggled with injuries throughout his career. You know, I believe he's Utah State's tallest receiver at 6'4". He's a fast guy, physical receiver, not afraid to go to the ball. And I was actually able to sit down and talk with him on Thursday. And he's spent 5 years with Chucky now. He's excited. There's no need for them to communicate on the field. They know what each other are thinking. And when I talked to him, he was incredibly excited for the season. You know, he'll definitely be the number two across from Devontae Robinson, or one of, you know, they'll be 1-2. And I think the receiving core is more young and inexperienced than it is thin. You have a lot of young guys. I really like a Gerald Bright out of Pensacola, Florida. You know, built in the mode of JoJo Natson, incredibly quick. He was an option quarterback in high school that they're converting to, you know, a slot receiver. You got Andrew Rodriguez, who's a transfer from Houston, who sat out last year. You have a junior college guy coming in, and Jaron Colston Green, another tall receiver, 6'3", quick. He spent a year at Oklahoma State before going to junior college. And, you know, Wyatt Houston is a great tight end, and I know, looking back at Heupel's offenses at Oklahoma, that they, you know, they utilize the tight end a lot. And I think that's something Heupel is going to look to do, especially with a shortage of experienced receivers, to lean on Wyatt Houston and kind of try to spread the ball around a little bit.
So I got – that's good. So I got two quick things before. Like, so it was on Josh Heupel, came from Oklahoma, was let go after they had just an okay season. He played at Weber State college before – or no, wait. Yeah, he played at Weber State before going to Oklahoma, right? Or was it Southern Utah? Yeah.
I think he went to Snow or Weber – he spent time in Utah before going to Oklahoma. I know that.
And they got the Heisman. There you go.
Yeah.
So, but I just kind of bring it, like, he kind of familiar of whatever that is. But is that what they're going to expect? Like, use a tight end? Because Oklahoma, they depends their QB was. They wouldn't really spread it out, but they would go three wide running back, like when they had Sam Bradford there. Is that what they're trying to emulate? Or are they going to be in his first year, here's who we have, and you mold your offense around? Or is she going to say, here's what I'm doing, and you need to fit my system? Is there an indication of how that balance is going to be?
In doing some research, just looking at stats and stuff over the last few years, one of the most interesting things I found with Heupel was that at Oklahoma over the last two seasons, that Utah State and Oklahoma's offense have had the same percentage of runs from the quarterback position. So I think Heupel at Oklahoma always adjusted his offense and tweaked his offense to kind of the personnel that they had and the strengths and weaknesses. I think that's something he'll be able to come in and do at Utah State, you know, find where our weaknesses are, whether that's running game and whether we need to improve that or work around that.
Okay, I lied to Chris here. I got one more thing before we go to defense. I remember, I forget who said it. Hey, I just thought of something just now because it's JoJo Natson. That's the last question I'm going about it. He was in the running game, jet sweeps, bubble screens, a little quick, super quick slant to him. I forget if it was Coach Wells who said it or Heupel. I think it's Coach Wells because the media day was very recently. Are they going to find a player to replace him or just put somebody in and use their strengths instead? Is there going to be a guy that could be that running wide receiver type who plays all sorts of positions? Or are they going to, you're just the next receiver up and you're just a receiver?
Wells talked about that during the Mountain West Conference media days down in Vegas. And I can't remember the exact quote, but he said something to the effect of, we're going to find that player who replaces Natson, you know, the type of, you know, the fly sweeps, the screens, the short passes, the get him into open space. But if we can't find that player, we're going to have to tweak the system. We're going to have to tweak the explosive plays a different direction and find a different way to not lose, you know, Natson's explosiveness, even though we lost Natson.
Gotcha. All right, Chris, you can go ahead now. Yes, sorry. Go ahead. Yes, I apologize for hijacking that.
So we talked about, we basically covered the whole offense. I think Utah State's offensive line is going to be fine. They're experienced. They got the shoves up front. They're not going to be worrying. Really, on offense, it's just going to be how far, really, Chucky can take this team. on defense now, because this is and this comes to our one of our Twitter questions, and we'll get to the schedule in a bit. But this is how you're going to beat Boise State, is through tough defense. So you lose B.J. Larson on defensive line. I'm just talking about the front seven right now. You lose B.J. Larson. You lose Zach Vigil. Excuse me, Vigil.
We don't want this controversy again.
Vigil? Parker?
It's Vigil.
Okay, Zach Vigil. Excellent. So you lose B.J. Larson. You lose Zach Vigil. You lose Elvis Kamana-Mataagi, who really didn't play too much. But still, you have this slew of front seven guys coming back. You have Jordan Nielsen coming back. Travis Seafelt. Ricky Ali'ifu'e. Sorry, my Hawaiian names aren't coming. Nick Vigil. Tyler Fackrell, who was gone all of 2014, is coming back. This could be the best front seven in the Mountain West.
Wait, you broke up. Say that again so everybody can hear you one more time.
Yeah, I really want to hear that.
I said this keyword could be the best front seven in the Mountain West. And like I said, that being said, I said that last year, and the best team in the Mountain West made them look silly. So
yeah.
How does this front seven get prepared to really stop the best teams? Because they were dominant against not so good teams, but against the best, they struggled.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they did struggle. One thing to note is that Travis Seafelt, who was going to be the starting nose guard, is most likely out for the year. He was involved in that car accident a while back that we're going to take that. You're probably going to take him for the year and a couple guys for at least half the year. But I think it's hard. I think, you know, they are a great defense that fails to show up in big-time games or have failed to show up in big-time games, particularly Boise State. And I don't know how you change that. I think you look at the fact that Boise State's the only team in the Mountain West that Utah State has yet to beat. But you look at the amount of experience they have, especially in the linebacking core. You got Fackrell back, Vigil, and then you have, I believe outside of them, there are six seniors. Torrey Green, Michael Okonkwo, LeBradford Harold, Jerome Baldomero, And then you still have young guys, Chase Christiansen, who's battling, you know, for a spot on the inside. Joe Riggins, a freshman out of, I don't want to say where he's out of because I'll get it wrong. But I think it starts with those four, with the whatever four you have starting in the back there. Because of the, you know, losing Seafelt and losing a couple of the other guys on the defensive line hurts your depth. But those are the guys that have to be able to, you know, be able to see the weaknesses when they get into these big-time games and make the adjustments in games that are necessary to stop JHI from running for 5,000 yards. And so, you know, it's hard. I don't think there's one thing you can look at and say, oh, if they just fix this, they'll be able to beat Boise State, you know. But it is on the defense. If you look the last two games they've played, you know, I can't remember how many points a game they gave up last year. I believe it was 12 or 13 points a game. Maybe that's a little low, but then they gave up 50 to Boise State. And Boise State is a great team, but I mean, 50 points, like that's just an incredible amount. And so I think that Utah State's defense knows, you know, kind of their, you know, they have this great reputation, but they know that they've struggled in big time games, and it'll be interesting to see how they adjust for Boise this year.
Is it still my turn?
I believe so.
I guess it is. I don't know where Jeremy went. So then let's continue on, because this is where Utah State takes a hit. They lose Frankie Satara, they lose Brian Sweet, they lose Rashad Stewart. And, you know, you have Devin Centers, who didn't play. Or, no, he did play. Sorry, he just came in as a JUCO from the previous year. You have Jalen Davis. But this secondary of Utah State is not as, how do I say, it's not as storied as it was before, especially with the loss of Satira. How does Utah State, how did the secondary, like, basically account for that? Because there's going to be teams that are going to see this hole, and they're going to attack it, like, no problem.
Oh, absolutely, and I think, they lost three big-time players and a lot of experience in that secondary. One nice thing that eases the blow is Devin Centers, who, at the second half of last year, kind of rotated and played around Satara and Sui in the safety position. And in talking with defense coordinator Coach Kloon, one person that's impressed him a ton through the spring is Marwan Evans, senior. And so, looking at the safety position, I think between Centers and Evans, they're not as storied, but I think they can be as good. Now, it might take time for them to, mesh and be able to have the communication and field knowledge of each other that Sweet and Satara did, spending so much time playing together. And then you look at the corner opposite of Jalen Davis, and there are a lot of options there. Deshaun Hines, and then there's a couple new guys coming in. Cam Haney out of Los Angeles, one of the best recruits I believe Utah State's ever gotten. I know he had a lot of offers. I believe he had four or five offers from Pac-12 schools. And he came in, and as a true freshman, usually you don't put those expectations on true freshmen, but seeing what Jalen Davis did last year, I think it opens the door to, is this guy Jalen Davis 2.0? Are we going to be able to have two young lockdown corners? And so they're definitely, I fully expect teams to attack whoever the new safeties and the new corners are. But I think Utah State in the secondary has enough talent that if they come together and mesh quickly, that it will not be the weakness on this defense.
Jeremy, are you there? I guess not.
All right.
We'll just keep rolling. Listen to his podcast? This guy. All right. Oh, they're going to be so pissed off. So, we have a schedule. Oh, yeah. I guess I'm supposed to ask about the new Duke's defensive coordinator, Kloon. Any opinions?
I love Kloon. I really do. I was able to, I played as a walk-on at Utah State for a couple of years, 2009 and 10, and Kloon was the linebackers coach at the time and kind of ran the scout team offense, which is where I spent most of my time. He has a ton of experience, and if you look at what he was able to do in 1 year at Hawaii, at Hawaii 1 year, he lowered the points per game given up by 10 and the yards per game by about 80. So in just one season, without really any, I don't know how long an influence he had on recruiting class, he was just able to work with what they had and make their defense significantly better. And coming back in and having worked with, the majority of these linebackers have been coached by Kloon before. And so I think that will help ease any kind of transition from McGivin, I believe. Or no, it's not. Whoever, I forget the name of the previous D coordinator. But I, personally and professionally really like Coach Kloon.
Excellent. So, new guy coming in, seemingly all-around nice guy. Hopefully will be just as dominant with the defense as the old defensive coordinator. So now let's move to the schedule. We have a Southern Utah team who was decent last year, but Utah State should have no problems with them. The big game actually comes on September 11th. at Utah.
Yes.
Is there going to be any America-style game? Like, is there going to be any American tribute to this game, or not that you know so far?
Not that I'm sure there will be some sort of, you know, something at the opening, but I don't know about, you know, uniforms or anything else past that.
Utah's going to go all camo.
Oh, Utah, all their fans want is more mountains. More mountain sleeves.
More mountain, all the mountains.
Jeremy, if you ever get
so,
tired. Yeah.
So at Utah, this is and I mentioned this on the EBSBS Commentariat podcast, that Utah could be a sneaky pick for the Pac-12 South this year.
I absolutely. I think it depends on what happens with their quarterback position. Travis Wilson, you look at him and he makes one play, he'll make an amazing play with his feet, or in the next play, he'll fit the ball into a tight window between two defenders. But then the next play, the wide open receiver, and he drills the ball 10 yards in front of them into the ground. And so with that kind of inconsistency, it puts a lot of pressure on a Utah defense that has been really, really incredible the last few years. And I don't think you'll see much of a drop off, if any, in that defense. And then they got, outside of Wilson, they have Devontae Booker, who I think Utah has started a Heisman campaign for him, who could be, the best running back in the Pac-12, or even the best running back in the nation. He's an incredible back. The only question marks I see on Utah's team are outside at wide receiver, and a little bit in the secondary, especially after the dismissal of Dominique Hatfield. But Utah's a very strong team, and I think there are anybody in the Pac-12 South outside of Colorado has a shot at winning that Pac-12 South title. And I think Utah, they just got to get a couple breaks to go their way, and I definitely think they could be that team.
Yeah. So are the Aggies going to upset Utah here, or is there, is it going to be pretty much a loss?
No. I don't think it's going to be want by any means, I think it'll be a lot closer than Utah fans and even Utah State fans are thinking. I think, there's a lot of confidence from Utah fans right now. I think one thing that does both. Well,
one drink. Do you guys hear me?
Favor.
Yay!
Yeah. Hey.
Utah fan here speaking.
Ignore him.
This is my thought real quick. Is one thing I guess that is boding well for the Aggies is that Utah's going to be coming off a Michigan game that's, I think they'll win, but it's going to be a lot harder than Utah State, taking care of Southern Utah. I think it's a close game. I think Utah ends up winning by about a touchdown, maybe a little bit more. But I think it's a really close game. It's a game that Utah State can win, but with the limitations on offense, losing Natson and Sharp and, I don't think they have enough on offense that even if the defense is able to contain Booker and limit his production, that I just don't think it will be enough to get – they don't have enough offense to score points against that defense.
No, I was thinking – because I think it was like a six-point line a couple weeks ago, but I bet it's going to be double digits by the time that game comes around, especially if Utah beats Michigan. I just don't think, like you said, I think Utah State could slow down Booker with the linebacking core in the front seven. But, like I said, there's not enough offense. I was going to say you need a special teams play, maybe, but then you don't have JoJo Natson to do that, to make that big kick or punt return. And even though Utah's quarterback play is not very good, Travis Wilson, he's not that great. I know he's not nothing special. He'll do something boneheaded, and maybe Utah State can get a pick six or a short field. Receivers are gone. They have Kenneth Scott. He's pretty good, but no Drez Anderson, but he dropped the ball a lot. They're on another offensive coordinator, but I think you're right. I just think Booker will be enough, and they have a senior quarterback, and even if Wilson's just okay, Utah State's offense probably won't be good enough.
Yeah.
They got to keep it under 20 points, I think, I would say, to have a chance to win.
I agree.
So, next game, at Washington. Normally, I would say Normally I would say a win, but here's the thing. Washington is going to be coming off a very difficult game versus Boise State, win or lose, right? And then they're going to – I forgot who they're playing next. But you're traveling – Utah State is traveling to Washington. And if you don't know, Husky Stadium, almost 100,000 fans, that place gets loud. And that's kind of what Boise State was not expecting when they came there last year.
Well, wait.
How is this going to play out for Utah State and the Aggies to go into very hostile territory, maybe even more so than Utah?
I feel pretty good about the Washington game. I know it's, anytime you're on the road in Pac-12 or big school environment, it's a hard game. But Washington lost a lot of defense last year. I believe they had 4 or 5 players drafted in about the first 40 picks or so. And then they lost their best offensive player, wide receiving playmaker this year, to a torn ACL in the offseason. They had a quarterback retire from football, and they just recently had a corner who was expected to contribute kicked off the team. And so I think, Washington has lost a lot. I think they're still a really good team, of course, and they have, the depth that comes with playing in a Power 5 conference. But I think, offensively, Washington is pretty handicapped from what we know right now. I think Utah State's defense is enough to contain that. And if Chucky's healthy, all you need is a couple big plays, and I think you can, take care of business up there. I think it'll be a close game, but actually I'm very confident with Utah State in that game.
I am as well, because especially if you're getting the Hunter Sharp back, you're getting the lineman back, I think they're ready to go, and I think it'll be close. But I think Washington did nothing special, because they lost so many guys last year. I think it was guy Cyrus at QB that retired. He probably wasn't going to start, but it's Coach Peterson, but Washington was just okay the past couple of years, and he lose all this talent. I just don't – it'll be close, but I think Utah's defense will just suffocate them, because I don't trust Washington's offense.
Exactly.
So that's – we're not going game by game as we normally do. We got a bye week, and then we start the good games. This next stretch of 4 games – actually, dang, looking at their schedule, I'm kind of scrolling through. Like, they get the bye week. This next set of games, there's no bye weeks rest away, so they go October 3rd season out. Their schedule, conference schedule, didn't play nice for them this year. They got CSU at Fresno, which, whatever, it should be decent, but Boise at San Diego State. Me and Chris both like Wyoming and New Mexico. Then you got Air Force. Those set of games, Utah State will be challenged in pretty much all those games, just because where they're played and who they play.
Yeah, it is a tough break getting, that bye week, I think, at the very, very beginning of the year before starting, incredibly tough conference stretch. I think Colorado State at home, they've played close the last couple games. Catching them at home and with a new offense or a new head coach, I think I give the edge to Utah State there. At Fresno, it's another game they should win. But, games, Boise State, at San Diego State, at Air Force, even at New Mexico are games that really worry me as a Utah State fan.
I do, because I know me and Chris both like Craig Bull and Coach Bob, Football Bob, there in Albuquerque, right?
Oh! I got Twitter fun for you guys. Just to interrupt this real quick.
Just now, or what's been going on the past hour?
Just now. So Jimmy Durkin, the San Jose guy, tweeted out Sports Illustrated's predictions. So they said Boise State, Utah State, fine. San Diego State. They picked San Jose State as second place for the season.
What?
And in the West? Somebody manages.
What, really?
Yeah, that's actually not the craziest thing. The craziest thing is somebody tweeted back to Jimmy, says, looks like SDSU could easily win the West and maybe the whole West and the Dark Horse Group of Five New Year's team.
That's, I think that's possible.
Are you kidding me?
San Diego State, right? Is that who you said? San Diego State?
Yeah, San Diego
State. Well, here's the thing. They have the best. They miss Boise State. I think we all can agree they're probably going to win the West, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They play – don't they play at Penn State, correct?
Play at Penn State, at Cal.
That's not out of the question. Am I crazy by saying that's possible? We discussed this – well, no, you weren't with us. It was me and David Farrakker. They're talking Aztecs. I don't think Penn State's anything extremely difficult or tough. I know Aztecs struggle going east, but – I don't see a Cal.
But then they have to play either Boise State or Utah State for that championship game.
No, that'll be tough. I'm just saying, getting there, they could afford a loss to Penn State, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And
okay, anyway, that was kind of wanted to get that out of the way while I was still.
San Jose State second. That is surprising. You can't see that. They have no quarterback. Their rush defense is worse than anything. They red zone. They've given me zero indication the past 2 years. They even have a competent head coach. Chris, tell me who their offensive coordinator is without laughing.
Again, I'm mopping.
You can't do it. Good old Al Borges.
Damn you. I hate you so much.
You and me both said, what, 2 wins last week? Come on.
Okay, back to the topic at hand. I wanted to get that out of the way.
No, that's good. I missed that. You tweeted that yesterday. No.
So that stretch of four games. So that stretch of four games: Colorado State, Fresno State, Boise State, San Diego State. They should know. They should easily be able to go 2-2 minimum, right? If not 3-1.
Yes. Yes.
Now. I'm going to go ahead and say this because I'm the Boise State fan here. It's not a rivalry until Utah State beats Boise State.
I completely agree.
Okay, completely agree. And
it's a big game, though. You can't say it's not a big game, though.
No, absolutely, it's a big game. Absolutely, but this is what I'm saying. It seemingly. With as many hits as Utah State has taken this year, it's going to be seeming less possible. But then again, really, it seems like Boise State's weakness, especially against Air Force, was the turnovers. So if Utah State can find a way to create 5 or 6 turnovers in the game and at least be +2 in that game, so maybe forget the 5 or 6 turnovers, but just be +2. I think they got a good shot of winning.
I kind of compare this to the Utah game a little bit. We're assuming at this point Boise State will have whoever it's Kelsey Young or whoever's running the ball for them. If too much Ryan Finley, because he's likely not going to miss any time. Assuming those guys have found their groove and what they're doing, Utah State will need to keep this a low scoring game, which last year, what was it, 50 points or 52 points or something? It's going to have to be, like I said,
it was 50 win to the 19. Turnover.
Oh, 50 to 19. They got to win the turnover margin and keep it probably under 24 points, which, depending what the QB running back situation is, but it should be settled by then. That's probably what needs to be done. Unless I'll go back and forth, but unless Hunter Sharp and Chucky Keaton is what we think they could be. But I got to go with keeping under 3 touchdowns for Utah State's chance to win.
Yeah, well, in going back to Chris's rivalry point, I think a lot of fans want Boise State to be a rivalry. I mean, it makes a lot of sense geographically and, you know, the way Utah State's football program has risen. But everyone recognizes that, you know, it's going to take more than just one win, you know, to make it a rivalry. But we'll see, you know, this game, I've consistently said, and I'm not changing it tonight, until I see Utah State beat Boise State, I'm not going to pick them to do it. I think, you know, this might be the first year, as long as, you know, Chucky's still healthy going into that game, that Boise State has actually played against Chucky Heaton. And if Chucky is, you know, the vintage Shaq Ian able to do the things that he used to be able to do. And, you know, you have Sharp back and a couple weapons on the outside. And maybe you've managed to establish a run game now. You know, if like Chris said, if you're able to get a couple of those turnovers, I think absolutely, you know, this is Utah State's best chance at beating Boise State since, since last year. It's hard to say. Since Boise ever? State is always seem to be Utah State's kryptonite, and it's something Utah State recognizes and is frustrated with. And I, you know, earlier in the podcast I said, you know, they recognize and they harp on the fact that Boise State is the only Mountain West team that Utah State hasn't beaten yet.
And I'm ticked. This game's Friday night, so I can't get to that game. So I was planning on going to that. And then also, any Boise State fans are listening, quit complaining it's on CBS Sports Network and pay the $4 to get the channel if you don't have it, okay? I've said it. Don't complain.
I just paid, you know what? I just paid an extra $20 to get the sports package with my plan so I could get as many sports channels as I possibly can. So that includes Big Ten, Pac-12, CBS Sports. I think I even get Longhorn Network in there.
What? I'm gonna upgrade my package next week. I usually drop it down during time of the year, but I need FXX and CBS Sports, and there I'll pay my $6 to DirecTV in a couple weeks to get those channels. So people who complain it's too expensive, get it for a few months. It's a couple dollars. Come on, don't complain. All right, a few other key games, a few games I want to take a look at here. We got San Diego State at New Mexico and BYU. Those are probably the three games. Air Force will always be tricky, but at Aztecs and at New Mexico, those are two potent running attacks. Two different ones, obviously. But
one of those games.
What was that?
That might be at one of those games.
Oh, you might be. That's right. It's one's in Qualcomm. So, yes, you might be there. So, we already discussed the rush defense, but my thoughts on that game, Pumphrey, this is going to be weird for me to say, but just the style of play, I think Utah State may have better chance of slowing down Aztecs than New Mexico, just because the way New Mexico, Chris, we all saw what Boise State did to New Mexico last year, and I'll still contest, and everybody could yell at me and say I'm stupid, but if Jarrell Presley didn't get hurt, the Boise State probably would have lost to New Mexico. They have so many backs, and what they do is so unique. The best defense in the country will struggle for at least part of the time against New Mexico. So what, like Parker, what would you think? What's the tougher play? Pumphrey's one of the best backs in the country or one of the most effective offenses in the country running the ball?
I think with Pumphrey, Pumphrey's an incredible back. I think San Diego State also has one of the best offensive lines in the Mountain West too, if you look at it. And I believe they have four returning starters. You know, it's just another strength-on-strength matchup. I feel like Utah State, you know, their strength has been in the past and hopefully will continue to be stopping the run. And so, you know, you get early crack with Utah and Booker, and then whoever running the ball for Boise State will be pretty good, I can imagine. And you got, another shot against San Diego State. And, I think San Diego State is good, and they've had, I think, an underrated defense over the last few years. If you look at the stats, they've been – not right up there with Boise State and Utah State, but kind of right on their heels. But I just think, San Diego State's played in a weaker division too. I think the West has been pretty weak, and as it scares me. And I think if Utah State manages to beat Boise State at home, that game the next week at San Diego State has letdown game written all over it. And so I think we just got to see what happens. Right now, I'd give a lean towards Utah State, but San Diego State's a good team and a dangerous team on the road, too.
Excellent. And Chris will let us know how that game goes for the 8:30. Was it 7? Well, the typical Aztec 7:30 Pacific. Well, 8:30 Mountain Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking at football schedules, and they go local time on your team. But so, Air Force, they're going to be tricky. They'll be difficult. We don't need to go game by game, but the last non-conference game, which I know for this, we're cutting it home because people are waiting for us to offend this team at the end. We have gone almost 1 hour, and we're going to be talking about the BYU Cougars playing Utah State.
Wait, am I still
going to
have a chance to answer Chris's question about the duck?
We can get to, we'll get to the questions.
Oh yeah.
All right.
We'll get to that question eventually.
But, what do you have, Chris?
So Jamal Williams, guys, totally. BYU is totally better off without Jamal Williams. Like, they're totally going to win it all.
Hey, that's not far from some guy who I work with who thinks so. Yeah, for those who don't, because
so how many plays is BYU going to lose this year? We're gonna go say we're gonna say 6-6, right? Please.
No. To be honest, like even if they had like. I do stuff close to BYU. Parker, we all right around here. Chris just hates him just because. But seriously, if they for those who don't know, Jamal Williams withdrew from school, a minor finer honor code infraction. It was just a multiple offense. That's why he's gone. He plans to be back. Who cares? He may or may not, but it affects us because they play Utah State, Boise State, and don't they play somebody else in the Mountain West again or not?
Fresno State? Do they play Fresno State again?
Yes, they do. They do play Fresno State. So that's an issue, but even with
you they might not make again? The whole game.
Am I there still? Hello? Okay.
Yeah, you're there.
Yes.
Like Chris saying 6-6 now isn't far off what some people were saying with a healthy Jamal Williams, and he's probably would have been a what best running back out west almost, like top five. So Chris, you're joking, 6-6. You're joking, but 6 wins is probably what I was saying before.
Their football schedule is Nebraska, Boise State, UCLA, Michigan,
September
UConn, East Carolina, Cincinnati, Wagner. I don't even know what that is. San
Jose. Oh, that's right. San Jose State. That's right. Yeah.
San Jose State, Missouri, Fresno State, and Utah State. I honestly, literally, I see 3 wins.
No, you're not joking either because everybody knows I do stuff for BYU radio show and stuff, so I was writing like a best case, worst case. East Carolina's no gimme. Cincinnati, they can go 0-4. Like they might only beat Wagner, San Jose State, and Fresno State. That's why I'm going like worst case scenario. That probably won't happen, but it's a possibility that they could just who they play and beat up and stuff, and they have no backup quarterback. So.
Yeah, depends what happens with Taysom Hill.
But so Utah State, hope so.
Parker,
Stinker.
Hello, what? I'm here.
I think our connection went wonky for a second there.
Yeah. Was there a question?
I think Chris's connection is gone. Parker, are you with me?
I'm with you, yeah.
I'll ask a question. I'll have Chris maybe call. See, he's basically saying, so Utah State's going to crush BYU, right?
You know, it's still a rivalry game as much as, you know, BYU fans don't want to admit it and try to give us the little brother treatment. It is still a rivalry game, but at home at the end of the season, if you're Utah State, hopefully, you know, you win that game, then you're in line. Well, you have one more game left to win to get into a New Year's Six Bowl. You know, and so I think depending on if both quarterbacks are healthy, I think Utah State's defense, you know, BYU's secondary was really, really weak last year. I've had people try to tell me that, you know, if Taysom was still in, that secondary wouldn't have given up like 20 yards a catch or whatever it was. And I just think, I don't know if BYU's been able to address that. You know, it's going to be a good
game. I'll tell you this now. I was at practice the other day, and they're putting guys – when we found out who was – it's day one, but who was in the first and second group, quite a few surprises of who was in there and who probably shouldn't be in there for the first team. So there's going to be issues in that secondary.
And so you look at that, and, I mean, you don't have, you know – well, you'll have Sharp, but you lose Natson. But, you know, Devontae Robinson, Brandon Swindle, you're still going to have the deep threats there. And I think Utah State has enough talent to beat them. And, I mean, that game is months and months away still. So I think it's hard to predict. But right now, I'd give the edge to Utah State.
Okay, Chris, what's up, Chris Kitchen?
Yeah. Hey, hello!
Hey. So what are you looking at as a season prediction, Parker?
Oh, God. Season prediction. All right, let's just go for it. I'll say 9-3. You lose at Utah, against Boise State, and then one other game in there, whether it's at San Diego State, at New Mexico, at Air Force, you know, maybe even back up at Washington. But I think, you know, if they can, between at Utah, at Washington, Boise State, San Diego State, and at San Diego State, between those five games, I think they can, if they can get two or three wins out of those, it's going to be a successful season. I think it'll kind of just show where the team's at. So I'll say 9-3, and then, you know, playing in Las Vegas Bowl, try to get to another 10-win season.
You know, Chris, you know what we noticed there? I'm sure you noticed it as well, right? He did not include BYU as a loss on the schedule.
Yeah, absolutely not. No.
No, yeah, no
screw
way.
BYU.
Go ahead, Chris. Go with your kind of prediction type, your what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with 9-3. I'm thinking they'll probably finish second in the Mountain West. At Utah, Boise, and I'll give it. I'll say it at New Mexico.
Dang it! You and me both like New Mexico. I just with the suspension, Utah's was almost a pretty close to a sure loss before, but now the Hunter Sharp, I don't think there's any very difficult. We're on the same page. Utah, Boise State, and then it is that stretch of Air Force, New Mexico, Aztecs. But if I'm gonna rank the chances for a loss, I like New Mexico a lot just because what they do. I love watching their offense, but I'd probably lean more logically, kind of make sure I'm thinking on the straight line, like I'm not kind of just screwing around. I think Aztecs are probably the most likely loss out of that group. Maybe Air Force, but I'd probably go Aztecs, then New Mexico, but just because Aztecs are more secure than what New Mexico has been since Bob Davie was their head coach. Or excuse me, not Bob Davie, Rocky Long was their head coach. But they're probably going to, like you said, same as last year almost, probably go for a 10-win season. If they go to Las Vegas, they'll probably play in like Arizona State maybe. Maybe USC if they stumble, which I think they will. And that's assuming Boise goes to the Peach or Fiesta Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we always do is as well, what would constitute as a terrible season? Like what would be like, because we already talked, the schedule's pretty tough that first, after that bye week. What would like be a disappointing schedule, or like kind of not just saying, oh, they're going to lose, don't count injuries, all that stuff. Just realistically, where could you think them stumbling and just not having a good season? Because we know the Rams are good, Wyoming's improving, Air Force. Where do you think kind of be like the low end of the season?
Man, it's a hard schedule. The low end of the season, I think, is actually pretty low. I say the lowest of the low, I'd say probably 6-6, maybe even 5-7. I struggle to go that low. But, I mean, you look at so on the road at Utah, on the road at Washington, on the road at San Diego State, on the road at New Mexico, and on the road at the Air Force, those are all hard road games. So not one of those is going to be just an easy walk in and win. The only one in the road game is Fresno State, but then, you know, you still catch Boise State at home. And then, you know, depending on what happens with BYU and Taysom Hill, and then Colorado State, who, you know, still has Rashad Higgins, and, you know, it's a new coach, but we'll see what happens with them. So I'd say the floor is 6-6, you know, still bowl eligible, but not what Utah State fans have gotten used to.
It's probably fair. Should we get the questions, Chris?
Utah State fans are a little bit mad at me. I think the low point here is 4-8.
Interesting. Let me look at me real quick. Because if I'm looking at that, like, if you're going low point, they could lose to Utah. They could lose to Washington. I could see a loss to the Rams. That might be right, because I think a Wyoming win at home is probably going to happen regardless. But Nevada's always a possibility. Like, if barring injuries, I could see maybe 4 or 5 wins as well, because the only guarantee win, like, if I'm going to say this game is 100% win no matter what, it's Southern Utah, and that's it. However, I'm extremely confident beating Wyoming. And and Fresno State, but outside of those couple, I wouldn't call it a major upset if they lose. People would, but if they lose to Nevada at home, upset, not a huge one. Even losing out to New Mexico, just based on what I know about the team and how I feel about them, what I've seen them, what they can do, upset, but not mind-boggling. But I saying that, I don't think that's going to happen, though. I would say I think they're going to go to bowling regardless, but I could see your point. Less than six wins could be a possibility, but probably not going to happen. Questions?
Yeah.
Is that where – let's go to questions. That's just hard turn left
yeah,
there. Let's go.
Twitter question.
We got quite a few. Let's go with our favorite one from Chris Turner there. Parker, would you like 100 duck-sized Chucky Keatons or one Chucky Keaton-sized duck for your Aggies?
I would like one giant duck.
just to stomp on everybody.
Cool. Yeah. Well, gosh, how awesome would that be? I just can't get over how cool that would be. 100 really, really tiny Chucky Keatons would freak me out.
Hey, but also,
they would all be
like
hurt at the same time anyway. Yeah, but does it count if they're all limping around?
I don't know, but also I've been watching BattleBots of late on ABC. There's these robots that have these little ones with it. Yeah, it's my two little ones. They go crazy about it, but you see the ones with the little robots, they don't seem to do much. So why have little things when you have one giant thing?
Exact. Tombstone. That's where it's at.
Very good. Oh, that was crazy, yes. That was it. I take a couple left, but that's crazy. We'll move on, okay? Chris, do you have a preference on this?
Yes. 100 small Chucky Keatons.
But you can only play 11 at a time. How does that work?
Many, many backups and water boys.
Okay. Just wondering. All right, what else we got here? So, anything else you're looking at?
No, compare this year's team to the 1993 Las Vegas Bowl team.
Thankfully, I had time to go look this up because this team happened when I was 3 years old. So,
I'm older than Parker.
So am I.
Any guesses on who the backup quarterback was on this team?
It was Anthony Cavillo.
Who played behind Cavillo?
Who knows?
Oh, God.
Was this a John L. Smith? Matt Wells.
Are you serious, Matt Wells?
Yeah.
John L. Smith coach team, right? John L. Smith, is that right?
No, it's Charlie Weatherby.
Weatherby, okay.
Ooh, by the way, fun stats. Who only had 3 seasons above 500 as a coach and only 2 bowl games, of which he won both of them. So that's a fun fact about Charlie Weatherby that I learned tonight.
There you go.
I think this team is better strictly defensively. If you go back and look at stats from 1993, defensively, they gave up 29.5 points a game. And with how high-powered offenses are now, you look at that and, Utah State only given up in the teens is a lot better. Although the fact that Anthony Cavillo threw 469 pass attempts is pretty insane to me. It seems like a lot. Seems a bit excessive. But, this team, the 93 team was a good team. They started out actually 1-5 before ripping off, 5 straight wins before
beating 6-5,
in the Vegas Bowl. Yeah.
Was it the Sun Belt Utah State team, right?
I'm sorry?
This is a Sun Belt team, right?
What was the question? This Sun Belt? I believe they're in the Big West. Big West.
Oh, Big West. Okay.
Big West. They beat BYU that year, 58-56. So,
woo! Shootout.
The highlight of the 93 team. Yeah, right?
Waxing before there was
everything I know about the 1993 Utah State team led by Anthony Cavillo.
Okay, so you said that Calvillo. You said that Keaton is better than Calvillo, even though it's really hard to compare the two. I'm going to go off. It's not a Twitter question. It's my own personal question because I want to see if you can actually do it. I want you to rap.
Nope.
Straight out of Compton in the form of Straight Out of Logan.
Oh my gosh. There's no way I will be attempting that in any sort of public forum where people can hear. Maybe eventually that's something I can do just between the three of us, but there's no way I'm putting that to
work. No problem. Here's a few other questions we kind of answered but didn't. The biggest way to beat Boise State, like I said, I think it's low scoring and have the defense actually show up. I think
it's care of that. It's all on the defense there. Defense and offense needs to take care of the ball. But
yeah. And then what's the key to have Chucky being healthy and effective healthy? He's not going to run a lot.
It's all up front.
It's all up front. Maybe I'd go with zero design quarterback runs, unless it's like a sneak, like you need a yard or something. Zero of those, and effective. Hope Hunter sharpen him on the same page and tear it up. That's helpful.
Yeah, as long as Keaton and the receivers are on the same page and he gets protection up front, I think, you know, keeping him upright is the way to keep him healthy. So
let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, Parker, you have a bet going on. Daniel Connolly, he does Nevada stuff for us. Put this on. Does Parker still feel good about BYU not going 4-0 and avoiding the tattoo?
Yes, I do. Right? I feel even more confident after losing Jamal Williams. I know they're supposed to be better after losing him, but I'm pretty sure they'll lose one of those first four games.
Good point. Next, let's see. Questions. So I'm scrolling through. Some people say Cavillo hands down because long CFL career. Chucky Keaton has that time to go in the NFL or CFL, guys. You can't count that in there, right?
Well, and I only look – I mean, looking at it just real quickly, at Cavillo's senior year stats, he had a completion percentage of 52.7. He had 6.7 yards an attempt and about a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. If you look at Keaton's career stats, 65.4% completion percentage. And I believe that's over a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Oh, and the yards per attempt of 7.3. So just looking at college stats, I give the edge to Chucky. Not to mention how much better of a runner he is. So.
Excellent. I'm trying to look for questions.
That's for all the Cavillo lovers up there.
That's quite a bit of interaction. Okay. I think we're done with questions. One thing, do you have anything else to add about Utah State, Parker? Anything we missed you want to discuss or anything that you need to suggest?
I'm not going to talk about punters or kickers. I am going to talk about one thing that was mentioned a couple times up at Media Days last week by the offense players I talked to, is that, you know, Heupel's raised the bar in terms of the speed the offense runs. You know, they've always been an up-tempo team, but nothing like they've seen recently. And so offensively, you might see, you know, I think it would be really good to see something super up-tempo. Maybe not Oregon speed, but a very quick, fast-paced offense would also help them. So, but that's about the only other thing I think I have to add.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think I did a long show.
Yeah, well, we got 15 minutes remaining. I think we covered everything. So I can't hear Jeremy.
I'm just really glad we got to the
I'm back. Sorry. I pushed the mute button. It took 10 minutes to come back. Sorry, I'm here. My kid came down. I pushed mute for a second. I want to bring up one last thing really quick, though. What's the deal with the heat that our guy Chris is getting for the simulation, man? You see that?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, so that
it's a video game, right? Am I wrong? Am I correct? It's a video game, right?
Absolutely.
It's a 2-year-old video game. I mean, that he has zero control over. Like, I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. I almost said some things, but I decided I better hold my tongue.
Well, I liked my comments. You know the difference between fiction and nonfiction. I thought that was appropriate. I'm like, I don't think he could change his conference schedule, but dude, relax. It's a video game, man. Real football is here in three and a half weeks.
I know, and he said,
type stuff since Mike.
Well, that's all I wanted to end with. So that's what we got for what? Excuse me.
That's it, right?
Yeah, I love our interconnections working so well tonight by following the instructions Blog Talk Radio graciously gave me. But we'll end the show with this. Again, check us out. First off, like I said, go search Parker out on KSL.com. He'll do a few things for us, still some basketball recruiting, but all the football stuff there. And you are, sorry, I don't have your Twitter in front of me. Here we go. ParkerRob78. Follow that because he needs – we told your story last week about getting 2,000 spam followers essentially in an hour. So give him some actual followers who will appreciate what he's tweeting out and not going to eggs, spam bots, foreign people on Twitter. Is that fair to say? I'm sure you'd like that, right?
You know, actually, since the spam bots, I've actually picked up a lot of followers. By a lot, I mean like 20. So I feel
that's good.
A lot of real ones.
Yeah, well, that is perfectly good. You're like at, 300? Now you're at 2,300? So I've never seen it before, so that's pretty crazy. Oh, looks like it is time for me to go. My dogs are going crazy. But check us out, mwcconnection.com, Mountain West Connection, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Next week's our final recap, or preview, excuse me, Wyoming Cowboys, and then football's actually here. So thanks a lot, Parker. Chris, you can say goodbye if you'd like. You haven't spoken in the last minute.
I mean, hey, I'm right here. Next week is Wyoming. The week after, or is it the week after that where we're going to have our giant show again?
I believe it's the week after. We'll schedule offline, but it's going to be a week and
we'll
a half before
Parker
the season.
We'll get Parker back on in a couple minutes for that.
Definitely. We'll do a mega show. So, Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Parker. Thanks for joining us again. iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, still our place for now. So check us out there. Comment. Like I always say, give us 5 stars, but tell us what you really feel about the show. It could be a terrible review or a great review, but 5 stars is what we want. And yeah, check us out for Wyoming next week, and we'll chat with you guys then.